on lowering the head to tackle. Now it's a 15-yard penalty. If a player lowers his head to make contact with his helmet against an opponent, the player may be disqualified, and it applies to any player anywhere on the field. ESPN's Matt Hasselbeck explains who will have the toughest time adjusting to the change.
Coaches who've been coaching for a long time and coaching in a certain way. And then I think secondly, it'll be difficult for certain positions. There are certain positions that you're going up and hitting someone much bigger than you. And quite honestly, the only chance you have is to give it everything you have. The collision angle that's most powerful is the one that's also most dangerous to you and the person you're hitting.
Giants co-owner John Mara somewhat backtracked on his "no one is untouchable" comments. Said receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is not on the trading block. He wants him to remain with the team. However, Mara added there's no harm in having people call, and he can't say it's a 100% guarantee Beckham will remain a Giant. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones acknowledged there's some business to be done with regards to receiver Dez Bryant's contract. Said he plans to meet with him soon. Bryant will count $16.5 million against the salary cap this season. Both Louisville and Pitt have filled their basketball coaching vacancies. Cardinals agreed to a 7-year deal worth about $4 million per year with Xavier's Chris Mack. The Panthers hired former Duke assistant Jeff Capel, one of the best recruiters in all of college basketball. Former Memphis coach Tubby Smith has been hired at High Point, his alma mater, and Indians third baseman Jose Ramirez with a lacerated finger listed as day-to-day.
Conference rivals battling for playoff position out west. Russell Westbrook and the Thunder meet LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs. Tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
What are your fondest memories of a day at the ballpark? Is it the anticipation of a big hit or a crucial save? What about the beauty of a perfectly manicured field? Now imagine that field sitting in your backyard. As the official field crew partner of your local pro baseball team, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, partnering locally with Ultralawn can make this a reality. If only the best will do. Choose your local experts at Ultralawn, because the grass is always greener on the Ultralawn side of the fence.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit GoToMeeting.com.
Overcoming the struggles in 2017 is starting to pay off for Boyer this year. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
You're smart, got your own trucking business, making it happen. What if I told you there is a place online where you could connect with other smart owner operators just like you? It's an online community called Team Run Smart, where people share advice on truck maintenance, fuel savings, healthy habits on the road, and so much more, all to make your business more profitable. And it's all free. Visit TeamRunSmart.com today to check it out. You'll be glad you did. TeamRunSmart.com, brought to you by Freightliner Trucks.
The Country 500 Music Festival is back at Daytona International Speedway.
How do you like me, man?
With Toby Keith, Chris Stapleton, Dierks Bentley,
on a beach, sipping something strong.
Sugarland, Billy Currington, and so much more. Country 500, Memorial Day weekend, May 25th, 26th, and 27th. For tickets and information, visit country500.com. Sponsored in part by Budweiser.
Clint Bowyer and his number 14 Stuart Haas racing team raced their way to victory lane yesterday at the Martinsville Speedway in Virginia, his first win since 2012, and first with Stuart Haas Racing. Last year was Bowyer's first year with the team, and believes that overcoming the struggles from that first season together are paying off this year.
Man, it was a lot on everybody's plate last year, and everybody worked so hard at Stuart Haas Racing, particularly when you think about the 14 team. You know, obviously, we were all trying as hard as we could. We finished second three times last year.
Bowyer has five top 15 finishes in the first six races this season, including yesterday's win and a third place at Atlanta. And he sits eighth in the championship standings. For more, visit MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:06, welcome back in the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hour number three, kicking off on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, crystal clear at the moment, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Baseball fans, American League predictions for the upcoming season on the way tomorrow, as well as a chat with Jesse Rogers from ESPN 1000 in Chicago and ESPN.com. That is coming up tomorrow. We still got to get through the third and final hour of the show here today, and we will kick off the 6 o'clock hour by heading west to Ames. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports joining us as we take a look back on Pro Day with the Cyclones today. UNI held its Pro Day Sunday, Iowa yesterday in Iowa City, and the Cyclones wrapping things up today. Alex, what was the most interesting piece of news to come out of Iowa State's Pro Day?
Well, I think it's centered around Joel Lanning because, you know, coming into the day, I think Alan Lazard had kind of done what he needed to do in terms of the NFL. He didn't run the 40-yard dash today because, you know, the biggest question he said between the end of the season and now and talking to NFL teams was his speed. You know, that was the biggest question from teams is, you know, where is his speed at? But at the NFL Combine, he ran a 4.5540. He said some teams he talked to thought he would run in the 4.7 to 4.8 range. And so he put a lot of those questions behind him at the Combine, so he didn't do the 40 today. So there wasn't a lot to see from Alan Lazard. And so I think the big thing today, and the most interesting thing, was Joel Lanning. He did 26 reps on the bench press of 225 pounds. And you know, at the NFL Combine, that would have tied fourth among linebackers. And then in the 40, he ran a 4.76. But really the most interesting thing was when he showed up today, one team out of the 31 in attendance, the Oakland Raiders, actually asked him to work out at fullback. And so that caught him by surprise. But he went through drills, you know, caught passes in front of, you know, end up being every NFL team. But I think that was interesting just to see that, you know, sometimes you just got to find one team, and the Raiders seem to be at least intrigued by him back on offense.
He's an interesting case because I think there was a little bit of buzz for him during the season, or at least at the end of the season, as far as what his possibilities for the next level were. And he wasn't invited to the Combine, and then this is his chance to show what he can do in workouts because there were going to be a lot of question marks about his speed and his strength. He definitely answered the question about his strength today. But what is the level of NFL buzz that you're gauging around him? Is he a possible seventh-round pick? Is he a possible sixth-round pick? Or is he one of those guys that will probably have to make his hay trying to make a team in camp next season?
Yeah, that's gonna be the best case for him is probably sixth or seventh round if there's a team that kind of says, man, you know, this guy might fit and just wants to get him and not have to deal with the whole free agency thing. And if there's going to be several teams after him, you know, like Joel said today, you know, all it takes is really impress one team, and so that's kind of his goal is to just try to stick out to a team or a few and hope to get a shot. He's going to stay in Ames now, and you know, he said from his agent, he's been told that there's several teams that may want to come back to Ames and work him out individually. So I think there is some buzz that, you know, some teams are intrigued by him. Now, I'm not expecting him to obviously jump up and into the middle rounds or anything, but, you know, it wouldn't necessarily shock me if, you know, we saw him go in the seventh round on the last day of the draft or something. But I think for sure he's going to get some sort of, you know, undrafted free agent deal where he goes to rookie camp and has a chance to earn a training camp invite too. So that's going to be interesting to see, but I think, you know, he definitely showed the numbers I think some teams want to see. I'm sure he'd like his 40 to be a little better, but he seemed decently happy with it, and the strength was there. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting. The Raiders have taken a really interesting or a really deep interest in him. He said that at the East-West Shrine game back in January that the Raiders guy is the one that came up to him and said, hey, would you be willing to play fullback? And he said, yeah, I'm willing to play whatever, you know. And then today it was the Raiders again that said, hey, we want you to, you know, he did linebacker drills, but said, hey, we want you to go through fullback drills and catch passes and do some of that stuff too. So that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to draft him. I mean, there's so many different guys, but I think it was interesting just that they've taken that different interest in him than some other teams have.
Talking Cyclone football and Pro Day with Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports. Is there a dark horse former Cyclone that you think maybe could perform well enough at Pro Day to pop up on a team's radars?
Yeah, so, you know, Alan Lazard, obviously we expect to probably go in the middle rounds, you know, probably. And then Joel Lanning, we just talked about, could sneak in or would be the next guy in terms of undrafted at least. And then I think Kamari Cotton-Morey's got a shot. You know, the one thing with him is just injuries. He's had injuries over the last several seasons, and a lot of it's, you know, at that safety position, he comes down, he hits hard, and you know, he's been an all Big 12 player, but he just struggled to stay healthy with his shoulder. You know, it's kind of the type of injury that you injure once, and then subsequent hits in recent years have, you know, banged it back up again. And you know, I think that's going to be the biggest question when NFL teams go through stuff is go through his medicals. Are they confident that he can, you know, stay healthy? And I don't know if he's necessarily going to get drafted, but I think he's a guy that's probably has the dark horse shot of, you know, being undrafted free agent and sticking with the team through camp. You know, we saw Jamal Wiltz last year went undrafted and he didn't necessarily play in the NFL, but, you know, he's stuck on the Patriots practice squad, was with them at the Super Bowl. And sometimes that's what you hope for if you're one of those dark horses, just stick around long enough that maybe eventually you do get a shot, you know, because the best way to for teams to see you once your college career is over is to be in front of them every day at practice. So he's one guy. The other guy that I think some people wondered if he could be a dark horse was Trevor Ryan, and not saying he was going to jump into the draft or anything, but in a similar line of Josh Lenz stuck in the NFL or around the NFL for a couple years, you know, Trevor Ryan would have impressed him with his 40-yard speed, just being a track athlete and being a sprinter. I think he could have impressed him that way. But he didn't work out today because of a foot injury. And so that is really going to, I think, hurt his hopes just because you had 31 teams there today, could have shown him something, and he just wasn't able to go. So I'm sure that's a bummer for him. But for that reason, I'd probably go with Kamari Cotton-Morey.
I want to circle back around 1 second to Alan Lazard, because I know that a lot of these scouts have a preconceived notion, and with him, they see that he's big, and they thought he was going to run slow, like you and he said, round 4.75, 4.8. Now that he's run that 4.5, 4.55 or 4.52, whatever it was, in Indianapolis, does he think that he's kind of solidified himself as that late day two or maybe early day three pick?
Yeah, I think he's probably, you know, has some confidence that he could be that late day two pick. You know, you're starting to see some people. I think Todd McShay was one of them. You kind of said there, I think a lot of us around here, at least, we've at least seen him play in person a lot, you know, or not in person or on TV. You know, I think people in Iowa have just at least seen him a lot. And I think national people have been a little bit more intrigued with him after the combine just because of the speed. I think they saw him at 6'4", 227 pounds. And like some of the NFL personnel thought, it would be slower. And so I think they're intrigued by the speed. And so after that, I think it was Todd McShay, you know, started saying maybe third or fourth round. And that third round obviously gets you to the end of day two. And I think that's probably his best case, is being at the end of day two. And, you know, I don't know what the worst case is, but I think you could see him in the fourth or fifth at the latest. So, you know, that's what's going to be interesting, is what is his ceiling? You know, I don't know if he can get up into the second round, but if he could be a late third round pick, I think that's a pretty good spot for him. And the big question I think that's still around him, you know, he is 6'4", he is 227. He said he'll see about the weight. You know, he doesn't know if he needs to add or drop. But he said the position still varies franchise to franchise. He said some teams that have told him, we need a big-bodied wide receiver, and that's where we see you. And there's some, he said, that told him that they need a slot tight end. And so there's some teams that see him as a slot tight end. Now, it's not necessarily a blocking tight end. It'd still be a pass catcher. But even his role seems to vary team by team.
What about Brian Bobeck? I know he lifted and maybe opened some eyes there. He's a guy that has bounced around from a couple different schools, wound up at Iowa State, but maybe opened some eyes with some of his numbers today.
Yeah, the tough thing for him is, you know, obviously he graduated a year ago, didn't go through last year's pro day because of injury. And so he's really spent a lot of time still working out of last year, just trying to get some sort of look. And so he went back through pro day today, and he did impress. You know, Matt Campbell had told us last year, maybe his last spring, that by far the strongest guy on that team was Brian Bobeck. And today he did 36 reps. at 225 pounds, which at the NFL Combine for offensive linemen would have been second. And so we know he was strong. The issue with him, I think he ended up not really doing a 40 today because he tweaked his hamstring. And so it's still, I think, a health thing there. It's, if you can't stay healthy, it's going to be hard for teams to give you a look. But I think he did open some eyes in terms of the strength. He's a very strong offensive lineman, and he was pretty productive for Iowa State at center in 2016. It's just a matter of health, and that's kind of the biggest thing there that might hold him back.
While we've got you talking football, it looks like Matt Campbell and his staff haven't missed a beat on the recruiting trail. What can you tell us about the kid from South Dakota that committed recently, the number one prospect in the state?
Yeah, so Iowa State's been after him, you know, for quite some time. Blake Peterson, out of South Dakota, 6'4", 240 pounds, and a defensive end that they offered last February, had been on for the last 13 months or so. This was his seventh trip to Ames this last Friday, Saturday, and he got there Friday, and before the visit started, he committed to Iowa State. And so a big get for them. It was really, at this point, Iowa State and Minnesota were the big offers for him. He obviously had all the in-state schools, you know, Iowa, Michigan State, I think Nebraska, some of those schools were still in communication but hadn't pulled the trigger on offers. And so Iowa State really likes him. Like you said, he's the number one kid in South Dakota. There's not a ton of depth in that class, you know, in South Dakota, but, you know, there's always a one or two that maybe really stands out, and Iowa State gets him in this class. And they're up to six commits now, and, you know, I think this is going to be a smaller class. So they're kind of on the right track in terms of they're getting some of the kids they really wanted early. And then I think by the time we get to the summer, we'll see them slow down a little bit and try to make sure they save some room for the back end.
Basketball. Donovan Jackson is up to a couple interesting things at the NCAA tournament. Obviously, Cyclone fans wish the team was still playing or even had made the tournament. But what's he up to this week?
Yeah, so he's got twofold, and I had missed one because I had seen one that it came out that he's going to, first of all, on Thursday night, participate in the three-point challenge there, the same one that we saw, you know, Peter Jock and Naz Mitri Long go against each other in last year. It's that same event. Donovan Jackson is going to go in this year, one of eight participants from college men's basketball. That's at, I think, 8 p.m. on ESPN2 on Thursday. And then there's this new tournament this year. It's not associated with the NCAA, but it's a three-on-three tournament, and it's for money. I think there's a pool of $100,000 that goes to teams in various ways. But there's 32 four-man teams, players from every conference in college basketball. And he's going to be on one of those three-man teams, or I guess it's a four-man team, but one of those three-on-three tournament teams for that, too. So busy for him. And then I actually just saw yesterday, too, their top recruit, Taven Horton Tucker out of Chicago, is going to be participating. I think it's on Sunday in the high school dunk contest. So, not a very good year for them. They didn't make the tournament, but they'll be represented in a small way at the Final Four.
Just as long as there's no money on the line in that high school dunk competition, Iowa State will be fine. Alex,
right.
We appreciate the time as always. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports. And interesting that a team like Oakland may show its hand, but there's not really a whole lot you can do when there's scouts from 30 other teams in attendance. But it sounds as if they've maybe circled Joel Lanning for a while, going back a month or so, and maybe have designs on him at a different position at the next level. But you know this as well as I do. You get an opportunity, it doesn't matter what position you're going to take it. I think he's going to be open to trying whatever it is to latch on and grab one of those 53-man roster spots if the opportunity presents itself.
And he's going to get an opportunity, whether that's being drafted or going the undrafted free agent route. And he's going to have either way, he's going to have to prove himself in camp to make a roster next season, whether he makes the roster or is a special teams guy or even a practice squad guy in the NFL. And as much as we love stories and storylines, the NFL doesn't care. The NFL doesn't give two craps about stories. They want to know, can he play football? Does he have the athletic ability to compete in the NFL? And that's where he's going to have to prove to NFL scouts that he can do it. And that's the inconvenient truth of the life in the NFL.
That was a movie or a book.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was.
Al Gore?
That was Al Gore. But speaking of high school dunk competitions.
I thought you were going to say speaking of losers. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you see the McDonald's All-American High School Dunk Competition last night?
I saw people mentioning it on Twitter. I did not get a chance to check out any of the video.
The nation's number one overall recruit, Zion Williamson.
Soon to be a Dukie.
Soon to be a Duke Blue Devil. Oh, my goodness, this kid. I think Jay Williams says that he's already in a category of possibly best dunkers of all time. He's not saying that he's necessarily there yet at Vince Carter's level, but he could be. He's only 18 years old, and I think two or three commentators said that he is probably already a better dunker than LeBron James. That's saying something for a 17, 18-year-old kid.
And next year, the entire nation outside of a part of North Carolina will be rooting against him.
Yep.
Unfortunate, but hey, it's good to have the target on your back, as we talked about earlier today. The National League Central prediction with the Cubs the favorite to win the division again. Sometimes you're the hunter, sometimes you're the hunted, and most teams would rather be the hunted. And that's Duke, although Kansas put some smiles on a few people's faces over the weekend by knocking Coach Krzyzewski's team out of the NCAA tournament. Good luck to all of you who are still alive in the Imon Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Someone is going to be $500 richer when everything is said and done. The Final Four coming your way again this weekend, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One. They continue their coverage of the 2018 NCAA tournament and on to the Final Four in San Antonio for Villanova, Kansas, Loyola, and Michigan. One of those teams will be hoisting a national championship banner next Monday night. We will be off, by the way, next Monday night at 6:30 for the title game. Just a programming note to pass along. 6:22, Major League Baseball teams finalizing their opening day 25-man rosters. One of the Twins players who was in Cedar Rapids for the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet in January got some bad news today. We'll tell you who it is when we come back after this.
Had a couple of drinks watching today's game? Should you be behind the wheel? Buzzed driving is drunk driving. It's easy to tell when someone has had too much to drink. But what about when someone has too many to drive? The legal limit in Iowa is .08, and law enforcement is cracking down on all drivers behind the wheel and over the limit. Don't underestimate your limit. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Every personal record you achieve makes you want to set another and another and another. That's what it feels like to be a sales consultant at Zeta 2.9, the gym, and Smart FM. As your clients' businesses continue to win, you become even more passionate about helping them. And your success is supported by a bunch of sharp, creative, love this place people. We're adding someone to our tribe right now. So if you feel the way we do about this community, about working hard, and about helping local businesses, email Steve at KZIA.com to apply.
It's that time of year again, Trey, the sweet spot in sports where baseball begins and basketball heads into the exciting home stretch to determine who will win it all.
And whether you're planning on taking your family out to watch homers or buzzer beaters, you should make sure your car has the right tires to get you there safely.
Oh, that's a great call. Goodyear knows that performance is everything, whether it's on the road or on the court or field. So when it comes to choosing tires, let Goodyear.com help you choose what's best.
Goodyear, more driven.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the fish tank than Leo's pet store.
So the Minnesota Twins had the opportunity to have Zach Granite on the 25-man roster for opening day, or Ryan Lamar. Zach Granite, one of the two Twins who was in town back in January for the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet, former Colonel's outfielder. Actually picked him up at the airport and gave him a ride to the DoubleTree downtown that night. Unfortunately, he lost out. He's got minor league options left, so the Twins have announced that Zach Granite will begin the year in AAA Rochester. Kenis Vargas went unclaimed through waivers, so it's looking like he will also begin the season at AAA Rochester. Very excited. Minor league baseball opening day is next week. And we have Colonels manager Toby Gardenhire scheduled to join us on the program next week. They'll be here before you know it, opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Saturday, April 7th. And you can win a four-pack of tickets to opening night with us tomorrow during the 6 o'clock showdown.
What about the guy? You know the story that you told, the legendary story that you've told on this show about the guy who clogged up your toilet and didn't tell anybody
Aaron
about it.
Aaron Sleggers.
Did he make the club?
He's going to ride the Rochester shuttle as well this year. I'm sure the Twins will need him as rotation depth at some point in time. I'm working on trying to get a plaque for the downstairs bathroom at our house, the Aaron Sleggers Memorial. Memorials are only for people who are deceased, correct? So it's going to have to be the Aaron Sleggers commemorative water closet.
Yeah, until
he meets
it. It should be on like a wet floor sign.
Yeah, now you're giving me ideas. Now I don't know. I like where you're thinking. I like where you're going with this, but don't get too elaborate on me, and don't let the wife know either. She's not going to like that. It's not going to go with the paint scheme that. The bright yellow of the, you can get those, I'm sure, at Walmart or your various cleaning supply stores around the corridor area. Let's send things over to Kyle. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Assistant Iowa football coaches Reese Morgan and Seth Wallace spoke with members of the media today in Iowa City as spring football gets rolling. Morgan offered a couple notes, including that Chauncey Golston is moving from D-end to defensive tackle, and that the staff has agreed that an 8- or 10-man rotation on the line is the right move. Wallace also said he may consider a rotation at linebacker, and that Christian Welch, Jack Hockaday, and Imani Jones are all in the mix at Mike linebacker. Iowa State held its pro day today. Alan Lazard didn't do any athletic testing after he posted a good performance at the combine, but Joel Lanning was pleased with the 4.76 second 40-yard dash, as well as 26 bench reps, which would have been fourth among linebackers in Indianapolis. He also revealed that the Raiders asked him about the possibility of playing fullback and says he's open to whatever gives him an opportunity. Megan Gustafson was named to her 6th All-American team today, being tabbed a second teamer by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. Cedar Rapids Washington product A.J. Puck is the top prospect in the Oakland A's farm system and the 32nd best prospect in baseball, but last week he was shut down by the team for what was initially thought to be a minor case of tendonitis. However, John Heyman is reporting this afternoon that there's growing concern he may have a more legitimate ligament issue in his pitching elbow. Nothing official has been announced, but Puck is reportedly seeing doctors. A couple former Rough Riders have landed contracts in the NHL. Adam Gaudette played in Cedar Rapids in 2014-15 and signed an entry-level contract with the Vancouver Canucks, and Mitch Reinke played here from 2014 to 2016, and he's signed a deal with the St. Louis Blues.
Lots more to get to for the final 30-plus minutes of the program tonight, probably less than 30 minutes when we come back, but you'll get an opportunity to hear from the other Iowa assistant football coach who met with the media today, and that's Seth Wallace talking about things on the offensive side of the football. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on until 7 o'clock tonight. All three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and online streaming at KGYMradio.com, where you can also vote in our poll question today. Will the NFL's new catch rule make the game better? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast brings you the poll question every day. You can find him behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6:29, more of the show on the way after this.
Decking, railing, lighting, furniture, fencing, framing. At Trex, we make the most in outdoor living because you deserve to get more from your life outdoors. So why not start bringing your ideas to life now? With the brand that's engineering what's next. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, or to find a local retailer or a certified Trex Pro deck builder near you, visit Trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly
There it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube, leave worry behind.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shier she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
He really seems to care about what I have no idea.
Chris Mack moves from Xavier to Louisville, and former Minnesota, now former Memphis coach Tubby Smith is the new head coach at his alma mater, High Point University, in the, what did I say earlier, the Big South Conference, right?
Yes. The Big South Conference, you said Radford made the NCAA.
The mighty have fallen. Yes, Radford had the auto bid this year.
Speaking of Big Ten connections, I think a lot of Iowa fans will be happy to know that Dan Dockich doesn't just offend Iowa fans. He went on Memphis Radio.
He's an equal opportunity offender.
He went on Memphis Radio.
For those who do not like him.
And basically said that Penny Hardaway circumvented Tubby Smith and took up for Tubby Smith, and a lot of people did not like that.
Which is basically what happened, right? I don't think Dockich is all that far off.
No.
I think there was some back channeling and definitely some backstabbing. And now Anfernee's got the job, and Tubby goes to coach at his alma mater, High Point, which I – is that South Carolina?
North Carolina,
North Carolina, okay. Well
– one of my friend's moms went to High Point.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to make an Alex's friend's mom joke. That's way beneath us here. Play Rodney Dangerfield sound clips all you want, but we're not making jokes about friends' moms. 319-366-1600. That is the Hurting and Stocker
text
line.
Sorry, Ms. Folan.
I doubt she's listening. Foland?
Folan.
Oh, I thought you said Foland. I had a friend in college freshman year at Iowa, Matt Foland. He only lasted 1 year. He wound up transferring closer to home to the University of Michigan. Big train guy. Won't tell you it was night train, but maybe that had something to do with the transfer. 366-1600 is the Hurting and Stocker text line. You can find him at 101 South Dubuque Street on the Ped Mall in Iowa City, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. We appreciate the feedback tonight, especially when it comes to and pertaining to the issue with 106.3 FM earlier in the first hour of the program. I apologize to anybody who prefers to listen to us on the South Gym in Iowa City. If you want unadulterated, crystal clear sound, you can always backtrack and go to the podcast at kgymradio.com for anything that you may have missed. Hopefully you didn't turn us off on 106.3. If you did, maybe you just switched over to 1600 AM, or maybe you decided to use that as an opportunity to check out Smart FM, our friends from across the hall. Taking a look out the window right now, Rick Swan hopefully did not hear me say anything about the Cincinnati Reds finishing fourth in the National League Central earlier today when we were doing our NL predictions. American League predictions on tap for you tomorrow, and then Thursday, it is opening day of the Major League Baseball season, but a lot of people not ready to talk Major League Baseball. They still want to talk college football. Spring ball going on for the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones. We heard from Reese Morgan earlier today. Let's hear from another one of Iowa's defensive coaches, Seth Wallace, working with the linebackers. Here are some highlights of what he had to say earlier today in Iowa City.
Right now at middle, I mean, is it strictly between Christian and Jack at that position? I mean, for the starting role, and what do you see as the strengths, and where do you see the position right now?
It's, you know, I to answer the question before I get to the strengths,
You know, I wouldn't say that it's those two by any means. You know, right now is this time of the year really gives us a chance to move some guys around, not to say that we're not trying to, you know, to figure out where a guy, you know, fits completely. But, you know, we've got a handful of guys that are in that middle linebacker position. You know, I wouldn't try to say it's down to two guys. Monty Jones has taken, you know, a good deal of reps at that position. So, you know, we're trying to work those guys through. I think the strengths overall from a linebacker standpoint are, you know, probably the fact that, you know, that these guys are eager, as I said, from the start. I mean, that's the most noticeable thing is whether you walk down the hallway with them prior to meetings or you walk out onto the field or once we get into practice, you know, the one thing that is – most noticeable is these guys are eager. They're ready to go and they're ready to find a way. And it may not be, you know, just three guys like it's been, you know, for the last couple of years. You know, it may be more like the defensive line where there's a rotation. I don't know. I can't answer that three practices into it. But I do know right now that I'm optimistic and probably a little bit more. You know, I guess maybe a little bit more sure of what we've got. You know, not to say that, again, the painting's finished yet.
Aaron Menz, he's always an interesting guy to us. Is this the year he has to figure it out this year if he's going to do it, right? But what does he need to do?
Yeah, this is his last year, so right now would probably be the best time to figure it out. But Aaron, just like, and I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Aaron, just like the rest of them, is, you know, it's, you know, one, you know, there's not too many tackles. I think somebody probably in this room reported it that there may have been 20 tackles, you know, in the group that, you know, that currently sits in that room right now. So it's not like anybody's done, you know, a whole lot up to this point. But, you know, Aaron certainly is going to have his opportunity. Right now I can't say anything negative in the way that he's operated and the way that he's led this group of linebackers. But it's, like I said, it's three days into it, three practices into it. We've got a lot ahead of us, and, you know, there's very little to go off of right now. But I am optimistic, and I think the guys are working hard.
How do you factor in the guys that will come in here this summer, kind of keeping an eye on that with what you're working with now?
I think you don't give a ton of thought to it because, you know, and it's you would never say this, you know, you'd never say this in recruiting, but yet you do to a certain degree. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's our expectation that a freshman's going to come in here and play right away, you know, at the linebacker position, then we're probably not very good defensively. I think if you see a good deal of that across the country, you're probably looking at some defenses that, you know, are struggling in some cases where they're having to play a freshman. For whatever reason. I mean, you saw it at Florida State this past year with a quarterback. I mean, that's, you know, you're gonna take some bumps in the road. So I don't give a ton of thought with those guys coming in. I do, however, with, you know, with what they're doing right now and their development and, you know, what they're trying to do to prepare themselves for the opportunity once they get here. But by no means would I look at that group of guys and say, okay, here's somebody that's immediately going to be in our two deep. I mean, it's just you know, unless somebody is just, you know, AJ Epinesa, where, you know, AJ did that, you know, this past year. We've had James Daniels do that. You know, those type of guys are out there. They're just, you know, they're few and far between. And you know, it's a tough, you know, it's tough sledding when you're in there as a young linebacker, you know, and let's just say it is a true freshman linebacker going up against a fifth year offensive tackle from Ohio State. I mean, that, you know, he should win 99% of those reps. You know, it's just from a development standpoint, the curve is pretty great. So, but I am encouraged by, you know, what we recruited and the guys that are in that group. I think they've all got a chance. You know, I think first and foremost, they fit who we are, you know, and I know I've talked about that when I was in a recruiting role. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is because, you know, if you can coach a kid from year one to year two, all the way up to year four or year five, you know, you're obviously going to have a much better player than somebody that isn't the right fit that you have for one or two years, and then, you know, they go by the wayside. So, for me, it's, you know, I want to be able to look at the same face, you know, throughout their entire career, you know, in my meeting room and on the field. That's most important to me. So I think we've got the right guys. It's just a matter of, you know, what they choose to do once they get here, which is a completely different environment for them. You know, so that's what's left untold.
Well, there you go, Hawkeye fans. Seth Wallace is encouraged, as is
he
virtually
is encouraged.
Every coach and assistant coach around the country in this day and age. But there are certainly question marks at the linebacker position for the Hawkeyes. They graduated all three guys last year. Aaron Menz is a name that came up there in the highlights of the news conference earlier today with Coach Wallace, and he's a senior that I think a lot of people inside that building are expecting to take a big step forward next year as far as leadership and on-the-field role. And if he doesn't, hopefully some of the younger guys will step up. Now, Reese Morgan and Seth Wallace were the main attractions today at the Iowa Football Complex, but they were not the biggest newsmakers, and there wasn't really anybody making news today. However, social media was abuzz by the fact that there was a visitor to the Iowa Football Complex today, a visitor by the name of Bob Stoops, the former Iowa football player, former Oklahoma head coach, and the guy that many Hawkeye fans and some of them still 20 years later wish that had been the replacement for Hayden Fry over Kirk Ferentz. That was not the way that things worked out, but we had a number of people asking us, including Ryan and Wolford on the text line earlier today, hey, what's the story on Bob Stoops? I don't think there's anything to read into that. Coaches love talking football. Bob Stoops is retired. He's got a lot of time on his hands nowadays, and he's good friends with Kirk Ferentz. You may remember Oklahoma and Iowa played in an Insight Bowl several years ago, which was absolute torture for both men. Neither Kirk Ferentz or Bob Stoops wanted to be playing each other in that bowl game. Oklahoma, for obvious reasons, because the Insight Bowl is never in Oklahoma's game plan at the beginning of the year, but they're very good friends. And you see this all the time. Guys go from complex to complex and renew acquaintances, and it's Bob Stoops' alma mater, probably checking some things out. Maybe it's the first time he's had an opportunity to get a tour of the facilities, you never know, but he also may be helping an NFL team out. I have no idea. I know at one point in time, the Stoops family, I had a member who was being treated at the UIHC. I think that is that's in the past, but there have been a number of things that have brought Bob Stoops to Iowa City in the past. I do think this is interesting, though, because if you do a quick Google search of Bob Stoops, not a Google search, but if you type in Bob Stoops and search on Twitter, you get a number of the tweets coming up from the Iowa beat writers who were there in the building today who saw him. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who joins us here on Fridays. Former Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops visiting the Hawkeye Football Complex today. 251 likes.
I'm just here for the replies, Todd.
Bob Stoops sighting. This is Mark Morehouse from the Gazette. I actually pointed him out during an interview with Parker Hesse. 61 likes. Pat Hardy from AllHawkeyes.com, the former Press Citizen columnist. Bob Stoops just left the Iowa Football Complex. 78 likes. If you dive into the replies, it's everything from maybe he's going to replace Gary Barta to maybe he's going to take an advisory role with the football program.
I'm trying to figure out which rumor is more hilarious, this one or the fact that people were doctoring photos of Chip Kelly with the Iowa Hawkeye logo on his visor when they were looking for a new offensive coordinator.
Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times, a little less traction on this one. Yesterday, Don Patterson, that's another former Hayden Fry assistant. Today, Bob Stoops, you never know who you will run into at the Iowa Football Complex. 10 likes. There's absolutely nothing to Bob Stoops being at the Iowa Football Complex other than the fact that it's good to know that he still has ties to his alma mater. It's nice to see a guy like that around. And maybe he's bouncing some ideas off of Kirk Ferentz or vice versa.
I'm just glad that we're not there every day to see all the people that walk in and out of the Iowa Football Complex and tweet it out, because there would be a new coach every day that we would be that people would be rumoring as the next head coach or the next athletic director, like Bill O'Brien or Tom Moore, who make frequent trips to Iowa City as well.
Well, and Ed on the text line brings up a salient point. Drake Stoops, the son of Bob Stoops, was being recruited by Iowa. He ultimately chose to stay home at Oklahoma, but the Stoops family went through the recruiting process with Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. So if I had to wager a guess here, 99.99996% certain that this is just a guy dropping by the football complex. Like you said, coaches,
I'll go say 100%.
Coaches come and go all the time. This is, well, it's not the equivalent of John Gruden showing up at the Tennessee practice facility early. That would have been great.
I'm going to miss those rumors.
How quickly, and this is somebody else's thought from social media and Twitter, and I wish I could remember who had it. I'm sure multiple people did, but how quickly is that going to become a 30 for 30? On ESPN,
the Tennessee coaching search,
because I think the material is there. Adam Rittenberg at ESPN.com, along with one of the 24/7 writers from the Tennessee website, the Freedom of Information request that unearthed the text messages from the now former athletic director there at Tennessee, John Curry, discussing a Wi-Fi outage on his Delta plane. And it looked like Dan Doran at NC State was the guy that they wanted. And there's just so much intrigue to that entire process. And they had hired Greg Schiano, and then the rug gets pulled out from under him because of his implication with the Penn State and Jerry Sandusky scandal and the public outcry that he wasn't good enough. And it ultimately winds up costing Curry his job and Phil Fulmer maybe or may or may not have thrown him under the bus and back-channeled him the way that Anfernee Hardaway did Tubby Smith. Remember, there's so much palace intrigue in college athletics, but I think very ripe for the 30 for 30 treatment. Bob Stoops showing up at the Iowa football complex, probably one of the more uninteresting 30 for 30. What if I told you that an alum from a university visited its football complex?
That doesn't sound like a very good intro.
No.
Have you seen the text messages that from John Curry to certain people? Did you see his text message to Dan Wolkin of USA Today?
That one I did not. I admittedly haven't done a deep dive into this. I don't work for WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville.
So Dan Wolkin texted John Curry. I think this would have been after the first hire of Greg Schiano.
The first hire, yes.
The first hire of Greg Schiano. And Dan Wolkin said, "Hey, great hire. Seriously, man, great hire." And John Curry responded with, "Thank you. I'm going to need your help with making this a good PR situation."
Well,
that's not a good look. And I'm not saying that he did, but let's just say he hasn't responded to anybody on Twitter, but he's getting a lot of heat for that. Dan Wolkin of USA Today is getting a lot of heat for that response from John Curry.
I don't think it's any surprise that people that work in athletics have friends and sources in the media and vice versa and relationships. And, you know, I think this is something that you see pretty much everywhere. It is a little unsavory as far as you should be writing the story and telling the story and not actively being a part of the story or driving it in a direction where a source wants it to go. Unfortunately, I think nowadays with the news cycle and the situation we've got in this country where you have news outlets that cater to this segment of the population or that segment of the population, I think it's pretty common. And in this day and age where you try to cultivate sources, especially if you're a national college guy, the athletic director at an SEC school is a pretty valuable source to have. You want to stay on his good side. And you're right. It's an unfortunate look. It's probably like I've had people request that I position things a certain way to make them look good or to put their name out for a job that may or may not be open. And it always gives you a little bit of an uneasy feeling. You know, I'm not going to suggest anybody for a job unless I feel at the bottom of my heart I think they'd be a great fit. You know, I had nothing to do with LaVall Jordan getting the Butler job last year, but when his name came up, I said he'd be a great hire. Played for Todd Licklider there and understands the way that that program works, and then, look, got him back into the tournament this year in his first year on the job.
But, yes, if you want any entertainment, or not necessarily entertainment, if you want to cringe, go to Dan Wilkins' Twitter page and read the replies on every single one of his tweets.
What if I told you a coach that had a good relationship with Kirk Ferentz decided to stop by and say hi?
Is that a 30 for 30 short?
The 30 for 30 story. Stoops in Iowa City. And what you'd have to come up with a better name for it. I'm not feeling the creative juices today, especially at 6:51 when my mind is actually almost on Wednesday's edition of the program as we put a finishing touch on a Tuesday program coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Plus, on the eve of the opening day in Major League Baseball, we'll take a look at our American League predictions. We touched on the National League earlier today. If you missed that, the podcast will be available online at kgymradio.com.
Now, we chatted with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports earlier about the Iowa State Pro Day. We're chatting with Joe Lanning tomorrow, who was the talk of the Pro Day.
Future today. Oakland Raider fullback.
I'll tell you what, man, that guy can run Spider 2Y Banana is better than anybody.
I'm looking forward to finding out. Of course, you know, these guys never say anything incendiary because they know anything they say can and will get back to an NFL team, which is, if you may think that's me blowing my own horn here and nobody in the NFL is listening to your podunk radio show, believe me, these guys, if they say something, it's getting back. You know this as well as I do. Your brother is going through this right now. He's not probably on social media running his mouth off about... I felt bad. James Daniels yesterday was asked about the Cleveland Browns. He's an Ohio native, and he was asked whether or not he was a fan of the Browns growing up, and he answered the question pretty deftly, but you could tell in the back of his mind, he's like, what do I say here? If I say, yeah, I'm a big Browns fan, and you get drafted by the Baltimore Ravens or the Steelers... that's probably going to come back and bite you. And then if you say you don't like the Browns and they're the team that drafts you. So these guys are in say no evil mode right now. It kind of takes me back. Speaking of one of the news stories of the day, Kyle's going to remind you on your final big board update, but AJ Puck, Tyler and I talked with AJ Puck when he was still at Florida prior to the draft. Yeah, it wasn't exactly the greatest interview. He wasn't saying anything because anything you can and will be used against you in the court of your draft stock. And so it was about as boring and bland and Nuke LaLoosh cliched to the book interview as it possibly could be, which is sort of what I expected at that point. But you had a Cedar Rapids kid who was possibly going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, ultimately winds up going number six. And well, if you haven't heard the news today, and it's not officially news yet, but it's the prognosis for seeing AJ Puck on a mound in 2018 is not good. Kyle will have that for you on our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night when we return after this.
My neighbors always ask me, hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit GoToMeeting.com.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more five times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Extended Life filter for $28.99 or upgrade to a Mobile One filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Farm, Kathy here.
Hey, it's Mike. My team just pulled off the biggest upset in the history of forever.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, and some fans are getting crazy. They even flipped over a car.
Whoa.
Turns out it's my car, though.
Oh.
But I don't want to be upset right now. I want to know State Farm's going to take care of this, right?
We got you covered, Mike. Enjoy yourself.
Yes! Woo! Thank you! Woo!
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Back to the Todd Brodelkam Show, right here on KGYM.
You got to stop thinking so negative, son.
Minnesota Twins 25-man roster is out for the 2018 season. Congratulations to a lot of former Colonels, including Mitch Garver, friend of the show. He made the opening day roster as the Twins' backup catcher. Byron Buxton and Max Kepler will be patrolling the outfield. Jose Berríos in the starting rotation. And Jake Reed, set to make his Major League debut, along with former Colonels pitchers Trevor Hildenberger and Taylor Rogers. And then on the disabled list, Irvin Santana, who's a former Colonel from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim days. And then you've got an asterisk next to Joe Mauer, who was here a couple years ago on a rehab assignment. That is going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the program. But first, we've got to get a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update in Midwest One, where you're the one.
Assistant Iowa football coaches Reese Morgan and Seth Wallace spoke with members of the media today in Iowa City as spring football gets rolling. Morgan offered a couple notes, including that Chauncey Golston is moving from defensive end to defensive tackle, and also that the staff has agreed that an 8- or 10-man rotation on the line is the right move. Wallace also said he may consider a rotation at linebacker and that Christian Welch, Jack Hockaday, and Imani Jones are all in the mix at middle linebacker. Iowa State held its pro day today. Alan Lazard didn't do any athletic testing after he posted a good performance at the combine, but Joel Lanning was pleased with a 4.76 second 40-yard dash as well as 26 bench reps. That would have been fourth among linebackers in Indianapolis. He also revealed that the Raiders asked him about the possibility of playing fullback, and he says he's open to whatever gives him an opportunity. Megan Gustafson was named to her 6th All-American team today, being tabbed a second-teamer by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. Cedar Rapids Washington product A.J. Puck is the top prospect in the Oakland A's farm system and the 32nd-best prospect in baseball, but last week he was shut down by the team for what was initially thought to be a minor case of tendonitis. However, John Heyman is reporting this afternoon that there is growing concern that he may have a more legitimate ligament issue in his pitching elbow. Nothing official has been announced, but Puck is reportedly seeing doctors. A couple former Rough Riders landed contracts in the NHL. Adam Gaudette played in Cedar Rapids in 2014-15 and signed an entry-level contract with the Canucks. And Mitch Reinke played here from 2014 to 2016. He signed a deal with the St. Louis Blues.
We already mentioned it. Jesse Rogers and Joel Lanning on the program tomorrow, as well as your chance to win tickets to see Hairball. Talk to you then.
Hey, basketball fan. Plan to stream tournament games on your device? Don't let buffering put a damn